What's up, guys? It's Virginia. Thank you for tuning in to Super Hungry, Conversations with Not-So-Starving Artists. I'm really excited that you're listening. I hope you all have been well since my last episode. It's been a couple weeks. I went on vacation. Hey, got fired, went on vacation, back to back. Awesome life choices from me. No, we had a trip scheduled to Florida for the film festival that I had mentioned before, the Melbourne Independent Filmmakers Fest. My fiance, Stephen, and I, who was the writer and director on the film, we both went and it was awesome. It's my hometown festival, so it was amazing. I got to go 2 years ago when we premiered our music video for Ego Wrecking Ball. Our friends have a band called The Bang Ups, and they have a song called Ego Wrecking Ball, and we made a music video for it, and then we got to go to Florida. It was cool. but I like it because it's in the theater that I worked at all during high school, and it's always sort of a great, like, homecoming thing, and you get to see all the people that you don't get to see a lot, and it's not a holiday, so you actually get to spend time with them, so it's pretty great. And I'm really proud of everything that we did. I mean, we made a movie. We made a short film called Party Foul. We made it in 2014. Steven wrote the script and brought it to me, and I sort of really sparked to it. And so we sort of started working on rewriting it together. Obviously, he was the main writer. I just did a lot of story editing and was the main producer on it. But we raised all of the money ourselves. We did it on Indiegogo. We made a campaign. We raised like $7,000 almost, and it was amazing because we got to pay our friends and fly a couple people out to do it, and they were all amazing because they worked for not their full rate or even a fraction of really what they're worth. But to be able to actually pay people and do something like that was great. And going home to the festival and getting to be surrounded by all of the people that I really love and, you know, some of my oldest, dearest friends, getting to see our film in a theater with like probably almost 100 people ish, 60, 75 people maybe. But getting to watch it in a venue where people are like laughing when you wanted them to laugh and, you know, all of that, it was great. It was really great. And so we were at the after party on Saturday, and we had been nominated for 2 awards. We were nominated for Best Drama and then for a Best Short from the Florida Film Commission. And we didn't win either of those. And so we were sort of making the rounds to leave because we had been there for a while and we were going to go hang out with my other friends. And, you know, so we're just like, you know, saying goodbye to some people. And one of the photographers from the local paper came around and kind of with us and a couple of our friends was like, oh, do you guys want to get together for a photo? And so we're literally in the middle of posing for a photo. And we just hear, and the award goes to Party Foul. And we were like, what? And Stephen heard it first and he was sort of like, babe, I think they said Party Foul. And we hear him again say, Party Foul, you guys are here, right? And it's our friend Terry, who's Terry Cronin, awesome man and filmmaker and writer and does comics too. You guys should check him out. But he was giving out the awards. And so we're literally, we didn't take the picture because we were in the middle of it. We just like walk up really awkwardly. We're like, okay. And we got, I was like, okay, is there going to be a Carrie situation happening? And we won an award. We won an award called the Trailblazer Award. And I believe it sort of is to commemorate Party Foul for being sort of a bolder film, maybe made by a younger filmmaker, I think. It was really sweet. It was an amazing sort of thing to stand up in front of this room full of a couple hundred people and like have them be clapping and stuff. And then Terry, of course, was hilarious and adorable and was like, and they're getting married. And so everyone collectively was like, oh, that is just, oh, that's just beautiful. Love wins. It was really nice. So we have medals with paw prints now hanging near our bedside. And we're very honestly, we're very honored. And it was such a great experience. And then I went to New Orleans for a week and dicked around. And that was pretty great, too. So I will post a link, a private link that will have a password because it will be password protected. But you'll be able to see the film if you are curious. I'm going to post it on this post eventually. I felt very happy to be standing in front of a room full of my filmmaking peers and to have them recognize that it was something that meant something. And so that was really great. But yeah, then I just went to New Orleans for a week and, you know, wrote a little bit, cooked a lot, wandered around, just walked around every day, probably 5 miles a day when I would go out because I just didn't bother renting a car. You know, I was there to visit my best friend, Trisha, and she lives pretty close to the trolley, like a mile and a half away. So I would just walk to the trolley, the streetcar, sorry. All my NOLA listeners, the streetcar. It was lovely. But prepping mostly for my music video that I'm directing soon with Matt Rose. If you haven't checked that out, check the link on the post that I'm making about it so you know we're almost at our goal. We've raised $525 of our initial $600 goal. To be honest, we could really use a little bit more than that because that is solely the money that's for production. So in reality, we probably could raise about $1,000 and use all of it. But I'm really excited because it's my directorial debut. I wrote the script. I'm directing it with Steven. And I'm really, really excited and thankful, so thankful to all the Indiegogo contributors. That's a hard thing to say. So thankful to you guys. And yeah, just, I guess, wanted to use this time to talk about myself a little bit. Damn, if that's not what it's for. But I'm really excited because this episode, I sat down with my brother, Trevor Page, who's an awesome musician. He's an actor as well, and just somebody I really look up to. I think that he has just an amazing talent as a vocalist, and, you know, he has an album out, Oligarchy, that's out on iTunes right now. He's an amazing musician. I just think he's all around just really cool. So we sat down and got to talk about sort of what it was like for him growing up of mixed race. My dad's first wife, Teresa, is African American. So my brother grew up mixed race in Titusville, Florida, which is sort of a middle of nowhere town. So we talk about that. We talk about what it was like for us kind of growing up and being at our dad's every other weekend. And that's how we really interacted for the longest, like the larger part of our life. And then only when I moved to LA did we become roommates and like really spend full-time time together. And so we talk about that and like what influence our dad as an artist had on us and what, you know, it was like for him touring with Britney Spears when he was like a teenager. We talk about how that shaped him, his musical influences, you know, what it's like being in LA, what it was like coming from Florida to LA, you know, the perspective that he has as a member of the LGBT community coming from Florida. So it was actually a really great episode because I feel like we got into talking about things maybe a little bit deeper than we normally would just like sitting on the couch. It was really nice to just sit him down and talk about, you know, some deep shit. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation, and I'm really excited because the next episode, I'm interviewing Stephen A. Johnson from the Writers Guild, if you're getting technical, and Scott Pell, who are the hosts and creators of Old Geek, Young Geek, which is an awesome podcast that I highly recommend you guys listen to. And we kind of got into it too. You know, we started talking about the perspective from a writer's point of view of what it's like to constantly sort of always be in the hustle, how that doesn't ever really change, no matter how much you've written, how you're always sort of looking for that next project. Stephen Johnson, for everyone's reference, was one of the writers for G4 TV. He did a lot for Attack of the Show as well. And Scott Pell is a game writer and reviewer that goes by the name of Svederik. And they host this awesome podcast. So it was really great because I had Stephen in the closet and then I had Scott via Skype because he's based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we kind of did some technological shit, getting fancy. Oh, yeah. And I'm really excited. So that's next episode. And I'm really hoping that you guys are liking it. I want to be a place that you guys feel not only safe to listen to, but just encouraged to listen to. Because I really am encouraged every time I sit down by the people that I'm interviewing. So I hope it translates. I'm so thrilled and humbled and grateful for the people that have sort of reached out and let me know. So listen, rate, subscribe, comment, like, follow, tweet, shout out, hashtag, holler at your girl. I'm here. And I am excited to just keep doing this for you guys. I am trying to have them be every week. If that doesn't happen, I'm human. Please keep listening. I promise I will be putting out frequent episodes. I promise there will be regular content from me. It may not be every week, but you will get regular shit. This episode of Super Hungry the Podcast is brought to you by Hair by Kaylee LA. Kaylee does cuts, color, and wedding styling that includes consultations, trials, and day of execution. Her hair tutorials have over 1.5 million views on YouTube, and she's been featured on Glamour.com, Redbook, and Lucky Magazine. Check her out at KayleeVandenberg.com and book her to style you today. Super Hungry the Podcast is really grateful for our sponsors, and we have one more this episode that I want to talk about. Von Strantz is this really incredible band, and they're based out of Indiana, and their brand new album Narratives is available right now for download on iTunes. It's their debut feature length, and they're on tour. They are at the Art Bar in St. Louis, Missouri on November 11th. They're at Paducah Beer Works in Paducah, Kentucky on November 13th. They're at a house show in Dayton, Ohio on November 14th. And at Wilson Abbey in Chicago, Illinois on November 15th. So for a full list of dates, for details on how to RSVP for the house show and all of their music, you should check out VonStrantz.com. And yeah, enjoy this conversation with my brother, musician Trevor Page.
Thanks for coming to your own house.
Thank you for having me in my very own closet.
In your very own home. we're recording this on a Tuesday, which is different from my normal day. Our sister was in town this weekend. I'm so tired from showing.
A glorious experience.
It was great, but I'm so tired from showing her everything. It was like... It
takes a lot out of you, actually, just to move around L.A.
Well, and it's like you have to do the thing where you're like, here's why my town's amazing.
And right, show it off and make people, you know.
Well, I got in a 45-minute traffic jam before I picked her up, so I picked her up and I was like, fuck L.A. Like, it's not even that great living here. Right. Here's this, whatever, we've been in the airport for 45 minutes now, like, yeah, we're still in Santa Monica. Like, I was just so bitter about it.
It was like the truth of L.A. came out.
I know. And she was like, oh, great. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah. Like, I've been saving for this for a year. Like,
yeah, what a welcome.
And I was like, okay, I need to slap out of it. No, it was really fun. We had a good time. I think it was a million degrees this weekend.
Yeah, it was a tough time for a visitor to come to L.A. She's from Florida, so I'm, you know, they have their own... temperature issues there. It's, you know, it's a crazy heat bog, but
it was like 105 degrees on Saturday when we were at Disneyland.
Yeah,
that is some different shit. Like, I threw up, and I'm pretty sure that it was because half of it was because it was so hot. I mean, the other half was Tower of Terror and the, I guess, jostling of up and down. That was too much for me, but
it
like,
was a combo. It was a combo
of
everything.
It was so hot though. Ugh. But that's why we're recording today, because we had a great time with our sister. She flew out at, like, she had, like, a 5 a.m. flight the other day, yesterday.
And you were the glorious one who dropped her off.
Yeah, she was, because she was, like, wanting to take an Uber and stuff, and I just feel like, one, that's way overpriced, and two, yeah, like, you're my sis. No, I'll take you.
It's listen, fine. I don't even pick up my mom from LAX half the time.
It was her first time coming. The next time she comes, it will be different. I'll be like, take the flyaway. I'll meet you at Union Station.
Yeah, I tell my friends, I'm like, I love you. Welcome to LA. But take the flyaway.
Well, because it's so close.
Just kidding, mom. I'll pick you up. I will.
She's like, he's like, please keep sending me care packages. Mm-hmm. No, I have a friend coming in tonight, and he's coming in at like 10 p.m. And I was like, take the flyaway to Union Station, and I can meet you there.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you're here. So I've been recording in your closet for, you know, almost 10 episodes now, and I am excited because we had sort of, like, planned to do this when Dixie was here, because I almost wanted her to, like, sit in with us, but I think it's better to just have it be, like, a one-on-one.
And we just got so busy.
So busy. Life is hard. No, but you're a musician. You're a singer. I have a pre-recorded intro, so people already know who you are, so I don't need to do it now. But, no, you're a singer. You're a musician. You're a songwriter. You're a performer. You do musical arrangements. You do vocal coaching. You do a lot of stuff. You do, like, you know, recording and mixing for people. You do all sorts of musically related things.
I can also do a no-handed cartwheel.
Like, bring it on.
Yes, I'm a musician.
How long have you been doing music?
I have been doing music for years and years. I didn't get serious about music until probably about, like, 6 or 7 years ago is when I'd always loved music since, like, being little. I always sang around the house and stuff like that, but I didn't believe it could be like a reality as far as financially, you know, successful, lucrative-ish kind of thing until about like, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Okay. You did sing around the house a lot.
I know. I annoyed you all and...
Yeah, we were just all chasing
and water. Delighted
we
you
were all chasing
once in a while,
waterfalls
hopefully.
With you.
But yeah, I wanted to sing, but I wasn't sure exactly how to kind of, you know, really get my voice out there and get myself out there as an artist. So I got some really cheap recording equipment, I had a cheap PC computer, and I just started recording songs and messing around with sounds. And
On like GarageBand and stuff?
Or I think this, was your first I don't even program? Know if I, it wasn't GarageBand. It was like a, it wasn't even a Fruity Loops type thing, but it was something like that. I really forget the actual brand.
It was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I'm trying to think. I'm like, that was probably...
But it wasn't like a... It wasn't like a... it wasn't an iMac. It was like...
It was
just like this small, generic, you know, like, you know, recording software.
That's cool.
But then I, you know, from there, I, you know, tried to get better equipment and move up, and now we're recording on fabulous Pro Tools 11.
Wonderful. It really is nice, though. Everyone's heard the wonderful stories of the closet. So you, like myself, we're from Florida, we're from Titusville, and you, so when did you move to Los Angeles from, like, Titusville, Orlando? Because you lived in Orlando for a while.
I moved to Los Angeles 7 years ago. I guess that's about really when I got, you know, started to dig in, like I said, you know, to musically.
So, when you were in Orlando, you did high school, I know you were at Doc Phillips for a while, but then you finished with, like, a GED, right? But then you studied music, too.
Yeah, I did not do well in traditional high school. I think I was dealing... First, I started in Titusville. I went to 2 years there. Titusville, Florida. And I think that I was just dealing with my own issues. Like, we all have our own issues. Mm-hmm. But
high
that was a very...
terrible.
Yeah, it's a really tough time for everyone. That was a really small town. I think that I was... I had a compounded... I don't want to call it a problem, but
experience.
I had an experience, I guess, with... being multiracial as well as dealing with my unique sexuality, especially just in a town like that it didn't feel like there was many other people like
me.
And I was light-skinned, but my mother was black, my father was white, so...
And everyone in the town kind of knows both of our, like, your parents, but, like, our dad, and, like, your mom was a teacher at the high school, so it was, like...
Yeah, and the dad being, like, an artist around town.
Yeah.
People, and just being a small town, it was that mentality that a lot of people did know a lot of people. But then there was also plenty of people that were still, you know, a little bigoted, a little experienced with, you know, other populations that are different from them.
And it's still like that kind of today. I mean, if you go into Mims and Scottsmore and...
Right, exactly.
Even Titusville.
Exactly.
I mean,
Absolutely.
It's a small town, but it's...
And unfortunately, with NASA, you know, getting smaller and smaller, it's really taken a punch.
But all of the new private rockets being built there, that new
Well, I hope
company.
That it just keeps
grows and
continues
grows.
To thrive.
So you moved to Orlando with your mom, right? When she moved, because when? How old were you when Dad and Teresa divorced?
Oh, I was like 2. Like, so I don't even remember them being.
I was like that old when they like my mom and him separated too.
Yeah, I like never had a married memory, you know.
So you just always like knew them as like him coming to visit, yeah. Or like taking us on the weekends,
yeah,
and stuff.
Totally.
Because that's how
it
we
was
first
just regular
like
for me, you know.
Yeah, that's how we normal. First interacted. Both of us, I think, was that was just sort of like
every other weekend.
But also like games and
right, we would see you in between
matches
for, like,
or
things,
whatever, you know, soccer,
yeah.
And whatever. I don't even know. If
but even every
chess.
Other weekend to be able to see
your
sibling.
Kid? You, yeah.
I mean, I know that that's not ideally. I'm sure everybody would want more, but I
right.
mean that's. That was a wonderful thing to be able to see you that often,
yeah.
Because some siblings don't get that, you know.
Some siblings
don't get any, but
yeah.
Some get like a summer or
yeah.
Like, you know. So.
That was Stephen and Scott. They have stepbrothers, but they would only
yeah.
See them on the summers where they
yeah,
would visit
you know.
Their dad, and that was
so
it.
So then,
it's
like
just,
you,
yeah.
You like have this whole like year of ellipsis that's like where it's
yeah,
like,
and
oh,
it's like
hey,
this other family,
you look different.
Yeah, you're a man. You have a
yeah.
Beard.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think that whenever. We sort of tell people about because like we'll go out and people are like oh
right we
hang on
I'm a little like, browner than Virginia
hang on everyone else is a little darker well it's like when you and me and Elisa and Travis go out or something like you
yeah.
Know it's like but it's great because I think that it gives us this like weird unique opportunity to sort of talk to people about this experience that we had that the more that I look back on it, I think, like, I don't think any of us, any of the siblings, would be the same if we weren't raised like that. Do you know
oh,
what I mean?
I think it was, like, a strange blessing, even though, it, like, I mean, everyone has, like, ups and downs and rocky
yeah.
times, and family is tough
for everybody.
A lot of people, some tougher than others, but... I think that absolutely the different experiences and different mixing of cultures and mixing
yeah.
of different experiences was really, I think, ultimately a positive thing to just help us, you know, in life and in the world. And,
yeah.
You know, for sure.
Well, our dad is an artist, too. And I know that for me, especially the older I get, he's become somebody that I can sort of, I think, look to as, like, an example of someone who is a working artist, a living working artist who has sort of done that and supported himself and sort of paid child support and, you know, helped raise 4 kids.
Yeah.
You know, doing that his whole life. Do you think that that influences you in any way? Like, has that ever been an impact
you know,
on you?
I think now as an adult, looking back, it's, I think it's really awesome. But as a child, I think that I had some disconnects with it sometimes. Obviously, we know like financially we had problems
yeah.
sometimes. But also, sometimes, I know this sounds, it might even sound silly now, but this is just what I remember, you
yeah.
know? As a child, I didn't like having... really tough, crazy chores. Like, it wasn't like, go clean the bathroom. It was like, go outside and, like,
move
rake
logs.
The mud. Yeah, the huge wood pile and move giant logs and, like, you know, it was like...
I did that, like,
was,
the last time.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't... So I built up this resentment for it for a long time. But now I think it's amazing, you know? And I totally admire him as an artist. But, yeah, as a child, it was... The normal chores, I didn't care. Like, that was, like, normal. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care about cleaning the house and stuff like that. I didn't want to go do his work, is what I felt like it was.
That makes sense. I think I was just way excited to be like, oh, I'm doing, like, boy stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, because it's that,
yeah.
like, fun.
Yeah, and once again,
novelty.
I was not a normal boy either. You know?
Well,
I mean, I was,
sense.
But you know
yeah.
what I mean? I had my own.
But that makes sense,
yeah.
too. And Titusville is such, like, a small town, so it'd be like, oh, we'd go with him to like art shows and stuff, and then like
yeah.
everybody know, you know, it's
yeah.
everybody knows everybody, and it's hard. So do you think now, you said as an adult you kind of think it's great, have you had conversations at all with him as an adult, like as an artist sort of ever? Because like,
oh, now I just think it's the coolest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, there is so much inspiration from the fact that he always
absolutely
did his thing, and you know, is an artist, and definitely is, you know, more successful than ever at this point. You
yeah.
know? But yes, I really do. I love hanging out and seeing the new pieces. I love hearing about it. I love the new stuff that he did with that Senator Tree is like incredible.
Oh my God,
some of the
it.
Best stuff I've ever seen, you know, and produced. So
yeah.
So yeah, I'm very inspired.
What about your mom? Because like your mom is someone that will be on the podcast later, because I'm gonna have her and Brent on to talk about the documentary.
Awesome.
But she's someone who's had to me like 9 lives. She's like a cat
really?
In human form. Because like
she has done.
Well, she'll
so
be like, oh,
things.
I you know bodybuild for a while, and you know then I was like,
and
a
has
teacher,
like strange like these awesome trophies and pictures of her literally being ripped. But at the same time, yeah, I was.
But like did
so
all this amazing
things,
stuff,
yeah.
And one of the things that she did that I think. Was cool for me when I was a kid. I remember the very first thing being like I was like 10 and we were getting to go to a Britney Spears concert for some reason because of your mom, and we didn't have a normal traditional like childhood in the fact that like I knew your mom, I liked your mom as a kid, your mom
right.
was super nice to us and we were not her kids, you know, but she always sort of
right. We were lucky in that sense too. Everybody
like
got along.
Loved and yeah, and our grandma, I think Meemaw was a very big part of that, because when she would have everyone over and would be like Dawn and Hillary and Teresa and Linda and everybody, you know, all these people would come over and it was like if you made a baby, you're in the family. And that was kind of nice. And so your mom, how old were you when she sort of switched careers from being like a high school teacher, right, to being basically the vice president of
and it didn't
company.
Just jump straight into that, but I was 15. I would think I was in my what is that, sophomore year or your ninth
probably.
Grade year or something like that. And she had gotten just like a simple like job. It was, she didn't get like hired full time right away, but I guess they liked whatever she did. And then she got hired, and then her first two artists were Britney Spears and Wild Orchid,
like
which was Fergie's group. You know?
Yeah. That's so crazy.
And she was just the management rep for them, which meant she, like, dealt with their day-to-day stuff. And, you know.
Like scheduling and sort of going to events and stuff?
I don't think she, no, because they had, like, tour managers and stuff. So, I guess, yes, some of that, but I guess all of it, you know what I mean? All, you know, whatever
all
was dope. Yeah, whatever they had to do.
What was that like for you at, like, 16 to sort of...
Well, it was unrealistic because I can't explain to you how rural Titusville, like, really feels,
my God,
you know? Well, you know, I knew, but to the listeners.
Yeah.
It's just such a country-ish kind of town. So for that to happen, even though I know Orlando is, you know, an hour away from Titusville, it was just like crazy. Mm-hmm. It was like crazy town. And then everything just kind of, for her, kept growing from there. You know, then she, like you mentioned, she did kind of move up in the company very quickly. She's a smart cookie, you know?
Yeah.
So, She was, like you said, the vice president for a long time. Like, I don't even know, 7 years,
something like
that.
Yeah, a long time.
But funny enough, I figured out that I wanted to do this as she kind of took a step out of the music business and didn't.
Oh, weird timing.
Yeah. Like I said, I always loved it, but I don't think I believed in myself.
It's that
until,
taking that second step to actually be like, oh, I could do this for
real. Exactly. And then she was kind of taking the step out of the business and kind of doing her own thing and moving, you know, making her own company and stuff.
Well, because you did a lot of, like, I remember certain things when I was younger. Again, it was like we would see each other every other weekend, but then there would be these things where we would just go to because it would be like this thing that was happening. There was like a music video where you were probably like 16 or 17 and you're PAing for like a Triple Image music
triple
video
image,
and like
things
like that. So like you really had a sort of view of that side of entertainment like super young, because I mean at that point too Orlando was really big. in doing all the Nickelodeon.
Right. There was more stuff. Industry
there was a
going
lot of
there.
Industry yeah. there. So like that was a really kind of early on exposure to the industry. Was it ever something that like, I mean, you said it took a couple more years for you to really take that leap, but what was it that kept you, you know, going on like those tours and like doing, you know, like rep stuff when you were, you know, working for different companies or like going on the Gwen Stefani tour and Black Eyed Peas tour?
What was my motivation?
Yeah, or sort like, of. What was it that was interesting to you? You just wanted to travel? Because it was, it's a great experience.
I mean, yeah, the,
you know?
The opportunity and the experience. So I got hired when I was 18. Okay, well, first of all, I had worked, strangely enough, I dropped out of high school when I was 16.
Okay.
I started homeschooling, but I would just, like, never do my work. You know what I mean? So I started volunteering for this lady named Jackie Stathis, and she did a lot of award shows. She did Seatfiller.com is her company. I'm pretty sure she still has it. She's moved up now. She does all kinds of other amazing, incredible stuff now, but I think she still has that company. And basically they did all of the audience for... you know, the award shows and different MTV shows and stuff like that. So I went and I volunteered for her for a little while. And then I, eventually she hired me for a few gigs. And at this point I was like 17 or something like that.
Yeah.
I graduated high school and then I got hired by InView, which was the company that sent me on tour with Britney Spears.
Cool.
You know, and like I said, my mom was working with her at the time. So
right.
I was basically a sponsor. I went and I was on the Pepsi bus, which is where I met some awesome friends.
That's awesome.
I had some crazy experiences. but since my sponsorship was so small, I was on the Pepsi bus. But I would go up and set up an area where people can come and experience this interactive computer game with Britney and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
We did like a raffle. And so... basically, working with Britney, set up the little area, did a raffle, and...
What was the interactive thing like?
You know, the thing that I was promoting, it wasn't that cool. But, I mean, I guess if you're, like, a Britney fan, and also back then, I guess, you know, there wasn't as much, I guess, access to...
celebrities.
Just,
yeah,
it was just a little different. You know, this was, gosh,
this
was her dream within a dream tour. So at the time, the thing that I was letting people come and see was a little unique, but now, you know, we can see so much the click of a button on the internet. We can literally
hologram,
see so much
Tupac.
Britney. Yes.
Yeah.
So... I don't even... What was the question?
What was it like? I don't know. What was it like being on tour at that age? What was it like? What was that experience like? How did it
influence you? Yeah. So, yes, I was a sponsor. And being that age and being on tour with everybody, like I said, my mom worked with Britney. So I had... Funny enough, I had met a lot of people already that were on the tour and... getting that experience really made it even more amazing because I got to, it was like a sense of like family, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was like, you know, tagging along as a sponsor. I really felt like I was kind of like part of the tour, you know? Everybody was just so awesome and like warm and welcoming and I was crazy and amazing and, you know,
that's awesome.
So many, you know, fun nights. And, I think that, maybe that was even also part of just helping me see everything, you know,
yeah.
helping me like be like, wow, okay, maybe I could do this.
Maybe I could. So when did you do your first onstage performance as a recording artist, like as somebody who is?
Well, I have always been so nervous, but funny enough, I did this like weird rap sing thing that I think I was in like fifth grade because that's when chorus, that was the
yeah.
year for you could do choir in elementary school, and I can't even say that it was like a solo as far as like a like singing, like I don't think I got it because I had a good voice. You know what I mean? It was like this weird African, like, jumbo everybody, jumbo. It was so strange.
Lion King for preschool.
Yeah. So I don't know how I got through that, but somehow I did it. But then after that, I think I was like, once again, like 18 or 17 by the next time I got up and like sang in front of somebody, maybe even 18.
Oh, wow.
So nervous, so like, just like insecure.
Yeah.
Couldn't even like really sing out, but honestly, like, I had to find friends to like, you know, jive with. Mm-hmm. And I think I also started recording and I could hear my voice and, mm-hmm. And just honestly making yourself do it again and do it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of like, kind of tough if you are so nervous, but really that's the only thing that, you know,
you just gotta push through.
You just have
it.
To push through.
Yeah.
But then you kind of get this thing where it's like, once you did it, it's like it kind of goes so fast, you know, in your first couple times of doing it. You start out with just a song or something like that. And then you get this thing, it's like, oh, well, that was so fast. Like, maybe I could do it a little better next time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then it kind of goes from there. And then you just want to, you know, you want to work on the artistry.
That's cool. So you had a project in Orlando originally. Not originally, just a while ago.
One of the
years
things
ago,
that
one
I...
One of the
that,
things, one
yeah.
of your earlier projects.
Elmi Trev and Ricky Diamond.
Yeah, with Ricky Diamond is not his birth name, obviously.
He's Paul Catania, but now his artist name is Paul Catania.
Yes, Paul Catania.
Yeah, so you have to... It's Paul Catania, but Paul Catania.
Paul Catania.
Yeah, look it up.
And that was fun because I remember going to a show when I was in college.
It was
at,
so
like,
much fun.
Where was it? What bar was it in Orlando?
You came to... I think we did a show at Southern Nights.
It
wasn't Southern Nights then. It was called...
Revolution. Yeah. Is it Revolution?
Yeah. It was one of our first LB Trev and Ricky Diamond shows.
It was so fun, though. I came down from college.
That whole experience was just awesome, amazing.
I remember coming backstage and you were like, this is my sister, to everybody that was back there. You were so excited.
Yeah, that whole era was a lot of fun and just taught me so much about...
Dad was there, too?
Performing. I don't think he came to that.
He didn't come to that one?
No, but he's been to many
Tons,
other shows.
Yeah. It taught you a lot about performing, though?
Oh, yeah. Like, I owe a lot to that, like... learning experience. We got to go on tour together, the band, and we had two dancers and went all up and down the East Coast.
That's so cool.
And it was just great. And I think that I did get a lot of, you know, my chops or whatever you call it from, and just having the comfort of also having this other awesome, you know, fun, energetic performer with me. So yeah, it was great, and it taught me a lot.
And so you kind of, did you decide to go solo when you moved or a little bit before?
It was after I moved. I actually, we were doing LB Trev and Ricky Diamond for the first couple, maybe first year I was out here or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But we just had differences, you know, musically.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of saw ourselves differently, you know.
But you guys are still really good friends.
Yeah, we talk all the time. Yeah. So
he's over in Boston
and he's
doing
his thing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check out his new music, Paul Catania. You know.
Paul Catania.
Yeah.
So when was the first solo? When was the first solo Trevor Page album? But also, like, when did you kind of make that decision to be like, oh, I'm gonna record an album,
we had gotten off a tour, and we had actually, you know, we just needed a break from each other, and I think in having that, I just wrote some music, you know, I took the time to write some music, and took the time to try and, I guess, listen to some music too and kind of get inspired. And I didn't I didn't want anything else to hold me back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't want any mistakes that I felt like, which we all make mistakes. I didn't want them to ever be because, like, I waited on somebody else or something like that. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we had started to have issues, and I just didn't want to wait anymore. I felt like, you know, I needed to just, you know, get some music out and be singing. And so in that sense, I'm, you know, I don't regret anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
it,
no.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
and
sound,
I love, I mean, yeah.
It doesn't sound like he does or anybody does.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just really
And once again, it was a great, and I think the project was so fun, and I really wish that we had got to actually release it, because we recorded a whole, like, 6-song EP or something like that. And maybe we will release something, you know, one day. But and I think he released one of our songs. We decided to put it on one of his albums. So you can check out some of that stuff too.
That's awesome.
Getaway, I think it's called.
So what was your first single as yourself?
Something You Should Know.
Oh.
And
that was off your first album.
First
that you
album
self-produced,
called These
right?
Days. Self-produced almost all of it. I had some Gabe Lopez produced one song, but then co-wrote some stuff with me, and then Lucas Bacher also co-wrote. Oh, and Ricky Diamond was on the album too.
That's awesome.
He did a rap on one of those nights.
Cool.
But Something You Should Know ended up getting featured on one of the Eating Out movies, and then something else. But it was a fun song.
Yeah.
And I just wrote it basically about the industry and just like the struggles with, you know, like trying to get heard and trying to get your music out there and trying to get people to give a shit.
Oh, it's real.
You know?
Yeah. So, what was... Did you tour at all for that album? I know you performed a lot around L.A.
Yeah, everywhere.
Went to San Francisco.
Yeah, I performed mostly just West Coast stuff, but then I did get flown to San Francisco. That is West Coast, but then I also got flown to Iowa.
Cool.
And did a little casino show out there.
Oh my god, I remember that with one of the guys from The Voice, right?
Two of the guys from The Voice, yeah.
That was the show where you were...
I did original stuff, and then I did a song with them, too.
What song did you do?
I Want You Back. And then when I told you I was doing I Want You Back, what did you think it was? You were like, oh, cool. I want you.
Every time. Even again, somebody else was, like, listening to it, and I was like, I saw it on, like, an iPod screen or something, and I was like, and they were like, no,
yeah,
it's
I was doing,
definitely Jackson.
Trying to live without your love. Michael Jackson version, and she thought I was doing, I Want You Back.
Which either one would have been great, by the way, because it was like Pip, right, from The Voice.
Pip and
Pip would have killed NSYNC. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. He would have killed that song.
We all would have killed that song.
I know.
But I think we really had a fun, cool version of the Michael Jackson,
the Jackson
5.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That's it.
So that's fun. So performing at a casino, what was the demographic like there? Kind of older.
No, there was all kinds of people, but there was we were also performing with some famous international performers. So there was a lot of Asian community that came out,
cool.
As well as just the rest of the Tama people.
That's cool.
Yeah. But there were some really big Kevin Koa and some other people that really big Asian stars. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. So the new album came out this year, and it is called Oligarchy.
It is.
And what was the first single off that?
War Y'all.
And
I, you know, getting older and being, like, living in this, in any community, I suppose, and being able to recognize things that you think are silly and might be counterproductive for people, you know, sometimes we don't always feel like we have an outlet to make a difference, you know, even going, if you decide to go into politics, you know.
Yeah.
So I've always been inspired by artists that took the time to write songs that, you know, meant something to them that they felt could make a change or inspire somebody. Oh gosh, so many, but what first comes to mind is Michael Jackson, because we were just talking to him. But he was always, you know, along with the amazing stuff, he was always, you know, had a We Are the World kind of song on,
right,
you know, each one of his albums. But, and, you know, Bob Marley, I mean, it just so many people that use the music to influence,
yeah,
you know. So I'm not trying to say that, you know, this was just my feelings, you know, about some of our political systems, some of our laws, some of our, you know, some of the things around the world, really, some of the injustices. So I wanted to use music as a weapon, as you know, as much as I could have, but also still, you know, try and inspire.
We produced a music video together
for that song, Warrior,
with our friend Chris Hill as the sort
such of an amazing actor,
lead politician. He's so funny. If you guys haven't seen him, he's amazing. He most recently was in the Wendy's bacon brioche commercial.
He's working
for the Super Bowl.
He's working.
Working girl. So what was that like? Sort of. That was the first like bigger scale music video you had done with like. You know,
that's the most expensive one.
Yeah, like, what was that like for you?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
You are such a professional, and Steven
brought
so much to
fights, but it's okay.
But that's family.
Yeah.
But Steven, you know, brought so much to the table, and then to have Chris there. I mean, he was just so incredible with
so
what he
amazing.
Did with the character. Like,
these,
you know, I had come up, with kind of the outline of the video and what I really wanted to say, and you know, the plot and stuff like that, but I could not have asked for a better performance from an actor. So it was really great. And then I had, you know, Darius Lewis was in it, that beautiful brown skin hottie, and then Nick Teddy. From V Factory, so you know, it was just great,
yeah,
having friends together and other talented people, and check out me and Nick Teddy's music too, by the way, we record together sometimes. So it was just great. It was really great. Oh, and I have to shout out Mary and Kamisha too. They did a great job.
Oh yeah, they went for it.
Yeah, they really did.
Those outtakes of everything were great, because I feel like everybody just went for it, and we were all there. And like,
yeah.
Chris, I think, was my favorite, though, because we were like, just stand at this podium and get excited about something, and we're going to film you.
Oh, gosh.
And he literally was just doing the monologue from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Then Gene Wilder, like, the rowers keep on rowing.
Yeah.
God, so funny. Such it's a good guy.
So great.
So, you just had your album release show. You have had some press, and you're sort of on the tour, promotional tour as it is right now. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm one of the stops on the tour. Are you going to be performing at all in LA anytime soon? When can people see you perform next? Where can they hear your music?
I'm always, you know, trying to book and stay busy.
Your Twitter is?
/ I am Trevor Page.
Excellent.
Because I am. And then there will be more shows to come, for sure. I just got the article in New Now Next, and then there will be another article coming out in a magazine called Guy Magazine.
Oh, yay.
So stay tuned.
Exciting. Well, you're an actor as well. You were in my short film, Party Foul, as
yes, thank
Cut
you. That
Cousin.
Was a, yes, that was a fun little project. Movie was great. It was a lot of fun to
everyone
to
believes
be a part.
You is passed out drunk.
Yeah, well, you know. I do dabble in acting, but that shit is so hard out here in LA to actually to keep up with the craziness and the auditioning and going against the millions of people that are literally out here. But I did. I was in your film, which was awesome, and you can see me on shows like I was Browless Dave one time on the show called Resident Advisors. That's what it is, and it's on Hulu. It's a new show, actually. They put these crazy eyebrow patches on my eyes because I didn't want to shave my eyes. So it just kind of makes me look like I'm a
Cro-Magnon man or something. I can't believe they wanted you to shave your eyes at the beginning, you know? Anyway. Like,
but yeah, they weren't paying me enough to shave my eyebrows.
I was going to say.
So, but then, you know, so many people, I don't have a line in American Sniper, but so many people keep, you know, writing me and saying, like, I saw you on American Sniper. But yeah, I was one of the only other people in a scene with Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller. So I did get to be directed by Clint Eastwood, which was pretty effing cool. I wanted to, like, call my dad and, like, tell him.
I know, you kind of were.
Like, that's, it was, yeah, it was one of those, like, moments.
That's why I think I saw you that same day, because you were very, like, you came back and you were just, like, excited, but you were just, like you couldn't believe it happened almost, because of, like, he's such a legend, you know?
It was very, very cool. But, you know, I hope it I want to just do more and more, you know?
So I always kind of ask people, and we can kind of wrap it up at this question. Has there been a time since you decided that you wanted to do the art that you wanted to pursue, since you decided you wanted to be a musician? Has there been a time that has been so hard that you thought that maybe you would, like, quit and do something normal and regular?
Oh, my God. Every day is a up and down struggle of that. But I think at the end of the day, I think we all have to do what we have to do sometimes. I've served at more restaurants than I would ever wish on anybody, right? You know what I mean? But luckily, I don't have to do that now, but sometimes we just have to do what we have to do to get to that next, you know, that next stepping stone. So, I think this is a very crazy, tough thing to, like, elect to decide I wanted to do as a career. And yes, there are tons of times where there are those moments where you're, like, second-guessing yourself. But at the end of the day, I really do, I love music. I love to sing. I really want to be able to write and kind of inspire people. Like I said, you know, it's such a good feeling, and to be able to really see, we have tons of work to do, but to be able to see changes slowly happen, mm-hmm. and to be able to realize that is a reality and a possibility to make things better for people. So yeah, I think that. I don't know what else would fulfill me the same way.
Yeah, I get that. It's like, I keep going back to this thing that Judd Apatow said he was on this interview with Marc Maron, and he was like, you know, my family always asks me, like, why I work all the time and, like, why I'm always doing this, and, you know, this being the thing that, like, killing yourself for whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, it's because the anxiety of doing nothing is, like, so much worse than any amount of work that I could put on myself.
But I only think for some people that are wired that way. You know what I mean? I think for some people, they would love to just... And don't get me wrong. Like, I think we all need to have time to ourselves as well to be able to not go crazy. But I agree with what he's saying. I feel like I'm wired that way.
Yeah.
But I think that some people would love to just lay around forever.
I know. And I wonder if that's the thing that sort of, like, separates, like, mm-hmm. that artist sort of mentality of, like, no, I got to keep doing this.
But also
this,
maybe,
you know?
Experiencing some form, which we all, most of us, and I think all of us, have experienced some form of oppression.
Yeah.
But I think having some experience with that, and being able to identify that there is so much still going on, that could also make, for me, it gives me that that wiring of I can't stay idle. You know, there's things to be done that can be done.
There's work to be done.
Yeah. but I think that some people are wired that way and some people are not, you know. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming
for
to your
having
bedroom.
Having me, sis.
You know, it was a long journey. Glad you made the drive.
Yeah. From my bed to my closet.
From my bed to
three or four
this
steps.
This room. Yeah. Cool. So last sign off for people to find you on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter.
Yes. My website is trevorpagemusic.com. My Twitter is / I am Trevor Page. YouTube / I am Trevor Page Music. Just Google me or
just
something.
Google.
I don't know. Yeah.
Google.
But please do check out the new album.
Hooray! Oligarchy, out now on iTunes. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you do something this week that feeds your soul.
Feed it.